everybody. Welcome to 90s Court. This is episode 27. I am one of the hosts. This is Lisa Monahan.
And it's me, your best pal, Andy.
He is a pretty good pal.
I'm
like such a good pal.
Your best friend. Whoever's you're out there listening, like, and you're thinking, like, man, I'm all alone. All I do is sit at home listening to podcasts by myself, and I just will never find true love or friendship. Well, I got news for you, Buckaroo. I'm your pal. I'm always going to be there for you.
And tough shit about finding love.
Yeah, tough shit about the love. I don't think we're going to, that's not going to happen between us. I'm sorry. I like you as a friend.
Everyone.
Yes. So
what
that's
up, man?
Thing.
That's the thing.
I don't know. Shoot. I don't know.
I am on day 5 of single parenting 3 kids, 5 and below. It's so.
Children watch.
So I'm just thankful that I'm alive right now, like enough to do this podcast. So, but I've got my handy dandy, boom, 90s Court water bottle, which is just a regular Contigo water bottle with a 90s Court sticker.
Plastered it makes it taste like 90s. It's so good.
Does. It's such stale water.
Like, I just think of the 90s as like fruit punch. What's that little tropical dude fruit punch? What's that called? Tropicana?
I know exactly who you're talking about. Hawaiian Punch.
Hawaiian Punch. Mm-hmm. It's like Hawaiian Punch is the flavor of the 90s.
I thought Ecto Cooler was the 90s.
You know what? That's actually accurate. I'm sorry. Ecto Cooler is the flavor of the 90s.
I think we just made up next week's court case on the spot.
It's like, sorry, we're doing Ecto Cooler versus Hawaiian Punch. Both of which, at least one of which, I don't think was from the 90s, but that's okay.
Yeah, I think you're right. But how was your week?
It's pretty good, actually. I have nothing to complain about. I probably will, though. I didn't do anything cool 90s related. I watched the Battlehawks again yesterday, who once again established dominance. It's pretty cool, though. It's fun to watch because they basically almost sell out their crowd. They sold out the crowd last time, and then this week they almost sold out the crowd again.
Dang.
Which for an XFL game is pretty rad, especially after watching, like, New York sold, like there's, like, five people here watching this game, and then it's, like, 28,000 watching the Battlehawks. So, anyway,
wow.
So that's part of my life. So that and... I think I updated my dating profile, so that's also a neat fact.
Oh, did you put any pictures of you hiking?
No, I finally took down I had a quote from Pokemon as my thing, which was, I like shorts, they're comfy and easy to wear. So I finally took that one down and put actual things about me.
I was
really hoping to hook in the one who would know that Pokemon reference, but I failed, so.
That's all right.
Now the podcast
world
knows about this.
You didn't fail.
The world failed.
You. Yes. Yeah, there it is, per usual.
Yep.
So do you just want to get in? I mean, we have a very, very big court case.
What
on
do we
our hands.
Do? What do we do now? What do we do in this show?
We just talk about shit from the 90s, man, and it's so delightful and so tasty.
Good. Good.
It's been wait, no, you're up first.
I am.
Per the show notes that you so nicely wrote.
Yeah, I normally am just like, Lisa, read the goddamn show notes. Which,
I know.
It's like, even if you don't read the show notes, like, you, one of us went first last week. And so that's the only reason we really have that in the notes is because we forget who went first last time.
Yes.
So, hey, gang.
Hey.
It's your old pal that we discussed, Andy. He's here with a little thing from the 90s that... this one, more than other ones, I think is one of those things that would almost rather be forgotten. And I forgot about until I literally was like, I need to think of a thing. And so I searched, like, I was searching video games. Like, I'll do video games this time. And I was searching for good video games. I'm like, yeah, but I don't want, like, either a lot of these I either want to do is court cases or, like, I didn't play them a lot. Like, a lot of good mm-hmm. games that are quote-unquote good, there's really not a lot of juicy meat except, like, hey, this was a game and it was really good. The end. You know?
Yeah.
So I looked up bad video games. And again, I've already covered a couple bad video games. So, like, you know, a lot of them were just actually bad and therefore nobody's heard of them because they never played them. And then I saw something and I was like, wait a minute, this is one of the worst video games ever according to this thing. And it's for a system that I almost forgot existed.
Ooh.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. In the 90s, Nintendo... Well, let's just say this. Nintendo has a streak for being innovative innovative, creative, and basically just successful as fuck at everything. Like, everything they put out there ends up being gold. They saved the video game industry whenever it was flailing after Atari was like, hey, let's release 400,000 video games. Who cares if they're any good? We're just going to release so many games. And they're like, let's make sure that we only bring out the best things. In 1995, they had a lapse in judgment.
Oof. Wait, Nintendo did. Nintendo, in 95?
In 1995, Nintendo had a lapse in judgment. Between 1995 and midway through 1996, there was a slight lapse in judgment. Yes, that's right. At the time when they were getting ready to launch the Nintendo 64 in late 1996, before they got done with that, they thought, what if we made a game that is not only semi-portable, meaning, I say portable, but it's pretty clunky to be carrying around with you just like wherever.
Yeah.
But also, what if we tried to do technology that isn't even perfected in like 2020? Like that they're still working out the kinks to make it work. Well, ladies and gentlemen, they decided that they would release a game called a system called the VR32, aka Virtual Boy, which is a 32-bit system. I know Lisa can't Google this, which is a heartbreaker because
I know
it's wild. I remembered this because I owned one of these briefly. And by briefly, I mean I think I used it briefly. I mean, I continued to own it after that. I think I played it once.
Wow.
And immediately was like, this sucks so bad.
It was like its own system?
Let me explain what it is. So picture like a very small tripod. Like I'm drawing it for Lisa. So like this big.
Okay.
And then on top of it is like a little headset.
Okay.
And then attached to that headset, there's a weird looking controller. And so you set it on like a table and you lean your head up against it like a viewfinder.
Okay.
And then you put in the game and you start turn it on, and basically it's an attempt at virtual reality
in the
1995. Now, that being said, virtual reality was actually like in the works of being made, and if you had millions of dollars, you could actually do it, and it was pretty cool. Obviously, this was no Oculus Rift, which, if you don't know what the Oculus Rift is, that's a thing I own also, that I was kind of like, this is super, which is super cool, but like, it's just not cost effective, so a lot of people haven't done it. And that's in 2020. Like, they haven't been able to figure out a good way to make a lot of money off of virtual reality yet. And in 1995, they're like, fuck it. Like, let's go for it. That would be like in like the year 400, like somebody's like, I built a machine gun, you know, like somebody like
guys,
way ahead of time.
I made a Model S.
Yeah, I made a nuke. So this game was a huge commercial failure. So what happened was there was a lot of things that led to this thing failing. So A, you turned it on, and first off, the games are like super basic. It's like bad Game Boy. Where, like, it kind of makes things a little bit 3D, and what it does is it's like a viewfinder, have you ever used a viewfinder, I'm sure?
Yeah,
so you put it in there, and it's got two images on both sides.
Okay.
And so, because of the fact that you're looking at two images, it makes it look like it has depth. But it didn't make it actually look 3D, it just looked like there was, like, just, like, almost... I'm trying to think, have you ever been to a 3D movie without 3D glasses on?
Yeah, it sucks.
It's like that.
Yeah.
It's like that, where you can just see like two things at the same time. And as you might guess, it had a lot of health risks.
It had health risks.
So amongst everything else of the fact that the games just weren't fun, it didn't look cool because everything was in one color, red. It was a red and black only game. So it was red. No. Everything was in red and the background was black. And I'm guessing they did that for a reason, like it made like red somehow popped easier or something like that. But basically, they sold this thing, they brought it out, and it was one of these things that they were wanting to put in a ton of work and money into. But in the end, the person who actually like created it and thought up with the idea for it, like he never expected that this base model version that he like was like, this is not finished product. They ended up just releasing it because they're like, hey, we're working on the N64 and we need to get this shit right. And PlayStation, Sega, and a bunch of other people, you know, and all of them are coming out with their 32-bit systems, and they're like, we need to get ours out now. So they ended up releasing it prematurely when it hadn't been perfected, and they suffered the consequences of it. Despite all of that, they charged for this system $179.95.
I mean, which isn't terrible.
It's cheaper than a full-on like home system, like an N64 or something like that. Mm-hmm. But it's a lot more expensive than like a Game Boy. So they projected sales for this system of 3 million consoles and 14 million games in the first year.
That was their projection?
That was for their first year. They were projecting between 1995 and midway through 96. They were projecting 3 million and 14 million games. They ended up selling, in the entire lifetime of the product, 770,000.
Oh.
And now, that sounds like a lot, but when you're Nintendo, and you have produced the Nintendo, which is the highest-selling video game console of all time, and the Super Nintendo, which was a freaking phenomenal Smash hit, 770,000 worldwide is pretty bad.
It's
like,
really
you didn't
bad.
Even crack a mil. They included Mario Tennis with every unit. Which is pretty cool. I think that was the only game I played. I played it shortly and was just like, this hurts my eyes. It feels like this game was supposed to be made for, like, I don't know, for people who maybe didn't, like, stroke out by looking at horrible, like, weird, crazy images. That, like, it was like, it should have, like, a seizure warning, like, right when you start the game.
Really?
Yeah. It was, like,
it's not like strobing lights or anything, just kind of like weird.
It was just it hurt your head a lot. Like, and like I said, they did have some, like, at the beginning of games, it would even have this warning that would come up and say, like, please read instruction manual, like, or in safety manual or whatever. So
go
Blockbuster,
ahead and pick up your phone and just dial 9-1 and then just set the receiver down so that all you have to do is hit 1 once you're done playing the game.
Yeah, just have it ready to go.
Emergency help. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oof.
So this thing was, they had this big promo with Blockbusters where they were going to have it so Blockbuster would rent these things out for like $10 for the whole system, which is a pretty good deal, you know, rent it for $10, you know, play the game, test it out, and then people would then eventually be like, yes, I'm going to buy this. But that's not how it worked. And so Blockbuster ended up having a ton of these. Like, they just had a ton of them to rent out. And by midway through 1986, so like a year after the thing came out, they were selling the systems for $50.
Oh, ouch. 50? New?
Yes.
Like, oh, ouch.
Like, these were ones that people were not renting, and eventually they were just like, well, apparently they're not making new games for this anymore. They just basically canned the whole project, so I guess we have to sell these things. So they were selling them for $50. And I think that's the only reason I ended up playing it, was because it was $50 or something like that.
Yeah.
Was that we got one or whatever, and I was so... I've had a few things that I've bought that I've been disappointed in, because this is before, like, you know, kind of like movies. You watch bad movies because there's no Rotten Tomatoes out there at this time. There's not a whole lot of quality control, especially as a young kid. You're not looking into a lot of resources on, hey, is this any good? So I think we got it. I almost ceased watching this, and I never played it again.
There it is.
So if you guys want a quick rundown of a couple other things.
Mm-hmm.
The system made GamePro's top 10 worst selling consoles of all time list in 2000. I'm not sure what year it was that was released. I cut off, it said 200, not 2000. I said it in my notes that I put here was in 200, which I don't think it came out in 200. And the games that were released, they had 3D Tetris, Galactic Pinball, Golf, Mario Clash, Mario Tennis, Red Alarm, Space Invaders Virtual Collection, let's see, Vertical Force Virtual Bowling, Virtual Boy Wario Land, which is such a bummer because, like, Wario was, like, I loved Wario back then, and I was so bummed that, like, they came out with a Wario game and it sucked. Like, they didn't have anything.
Yeah.
So they made basically, they had 22 games ready to be released. And actually, it looks like, let me see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 of those games were never released.
Just sitting, because sitting they were somewhere
scheduled,
in a
vault. Exactly. They were scheduled to be released in North America, and they just never ended up coming out because it was such a massive flop. So,
wow.
So ouch. That's the Virtual Boy. Now you know things about the Virtual Boy. If you ever want to look it up, just take a look at some of the gameplay. It'll make your head hurt.
I wonder what they, I wonder what one sells for now. They've got to be collector's items.
You know what I saw? I think they had them on eBay for like $69 or something like that. Oh, so it's not that's too bad.
Nothing. Yeah. Wow, I'd expect it to be like more since it's just like, hey, you want this piece of shit?
Like,
this,
I mean, like, this, when I say it's red, like, it's just like, it is a horror show. Like, it, you're looking through this thing and it's just, everything is black and red and there's no other colors. Like, it's just, it's,
not fun.
It's real bad.
Good job, Nintendo. I mean, I don't know. We all make like terrible mistakes in life. Nintendo's allowed that one because literally everything else they do is so
Between
good.
That and the Wii U, which is one of those things, I never played that, but I remember that was one of those things that came out that like was also kind of a flop. But I think that was more so it sold poorly, not so much that it was a bad system. So, so that's Virtual Boy. Now you know.
The more you know.
They were not infallible.
No. Well, I'm glad to know there was a blemish on their record. Speaking of blemishes, I've got something on the lineup that is bound to make you just break out in hives and like other bodily problems. We all know that in the 90s, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles were like kings, right? Like we didn't need a president. My president was Raphael. Like
was Raphael.
That was my president, right?
He was the cool one. So, he was my favorite because he had the size. But then in the movie, he was such a piece of garbage and just got his ass kicked by, what's his face?
Someone just put him in his place, man. Yeah. Someone put him in his place. He deserved it. So the Ninja Turtles were high kings of the 90s, as we all know, and we also know from talking about them earlier this in season one that they merchandised everything.
Yes.
Toothbrushes, socks, shoes, like literally condoms. Fucking everything, huh?
Nothing.
Oh, nothing. So they had a lot of weird cross promotions, and one that I had never heard of until I started doing research today was a cross promotion that they did with Hostess. Hostess. That's right. Hostess as in like Hostess.
Okay, here's the thing.
That's right.
I don't know, but I want to take a guess. Were there Hostess cupcakes that had turtle shells on them?
Worse.
No.
Worse,
okay.
Andy. Don't Google. Hold on. One second. The Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, that's right. They dipped their slimy little weird green toes into the baked good world. And joined up with Hostess for 20 weeks in 1991. And during that time, Hostess created, manufactured, and sold one of the nastiest things I've ever seen called the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle Pies.
Really?
Turtle Pies. If you Google the Turtle Pies, there's not a lot on them, but I think they were trying to bring them back at some point. But
yes! Actually,
all it is like a little empanada, right? It's like a little empanada. That's like covered in thick green goop.
Lisa, so, I'm gonna break your heart on this, but I had one of these.
Did you? Okay, so you have one. I've never heard of this before. I was like, because it seems like it may have been like a regional thing, or
I mean, it wasn't regional, very good. But it was like tapioca pudding inside of like a weird greenish like the texture was awful.
Like, yeah, I'm sure like, it was.
Because it looks like a big green bean.
It does. It looks like something that I coughed up in the 3 weeks I was sick.
Yes.
So it's terrible. So essentially, it's an empanada that is covered in like very thick green icing that was then glazed. And then what's inside, you ask? Did you want to know? That's right. It's yellow vanilla pudding.
Pudding.
Of course. And the commercial, I found the commercial for this, which was awesome. And they said something like, they were filled with quote unquote mutagen goo. Right from the sewers to you. I was like, I didn't want it to begin with. I'm sold much less now as a result of your mutagen goo right from the sewers to you. I don't want food that comes out of the sewers. I want foods made in like manufacturing plants and like, I don't want it in a sewer. Do you know what happens in the sewer? Poo. Poo happens in the sewer.
Which doesn't mean where it starts is where it ends.
Oh, yeah, well, back from which way you came, I suppose.
Turtle pies.
Also, maybe you can verify. Apparently, they were quite large. Is this correct?
I mean, here's the thing. It's basically, you know, like apple pies and stuff like that they sell. They're chocolate pies, all those kind of things. It was just the exact same thing. They just were a little bit bigger because of the fact that they were covered in the green goo on top of it. Yeah,
okay.
So it was like, it really wasn't bad, like, from my recollection, but I think it was just kind of like it was a weird texture or whatever, but like I think it was the fact that the vanilla pudding inside was actually pretty solid.
I bet like, all things pudding, considered. But I don't know. I don't know about pudding inside of a baked good, inside of a wrapper, inside of a box sitting on a shelf. Like the more I go down this list, I'm like, no, well, this is, no, no,
this
and
is
no.
More of your personal opinions towards their pies in general, because they've made, because they make pies, like that's a thing they do, like blueberry pies, like chocolate pie.
Yeah, I guess you're right. I haven't had a Hostess anything in like 15 years or something.
They
like
do
that
make,
so
I haven't had it in a while, but I used to be a fiend for their for chocolate pies that they would make. It was just like just normal crust, but yeah, I think it was the fact that it was smooth on the outside, like was a weird experience, like weird flavorless green texture over the top of it.
Yeah, this is like post-surgery food. Like, did you just get your wisdom teeth out? All you can eat are turtle pies. You're like, yay! And then 30 minutes later, you're like, I hate this.
I have regrets. Anything.
We're just like, I just want. Apparently, like I said, they were huge. And I think in the beginning, they came out with stickers with them. And then you could also get trading cards later on once they did Secret of the Ooze. But they were some, I got conflicting information. It was either 500 calories per pie or 1,500. And that's a pretty big difference, but apparently 20 grams of fat and 50 grams of sugar.
Yeah, I'm going to go on record as saying it's almost certainly 500 because 1,500 is, that is so much more than a meal. That is,
I don't know, but it's Hostess. They don't give a fuck. It's 91. No one knows anything about like carbs or cholesterol or anything. Everyone's like, it's just a fucking free for all. You know what's, you know what we'll do in the meantime? We'll eat the like, what was it? The devil's food cake, like, smart. Ah, shit. There was some kind of green company that had sugar-free food. Ah, someone's screaming it at me right now.
You're
on the radio. I'm so fired from the 90s right now. It doesn't matter. They have. It was a green box. It was like diet desserts.
You.
I'm never gonna remember because I can't Google. Most
diet desserts, from my understanding, are like the number one cause of diarrhea.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Oh, for sure.
Diet gummy bears.
Totally. Diet gummy bears. So I will say what I did do was I researched this on, there was a thread on the turtle pies on Reddit, and I wanted to share just one quick comment someone made because it's like, this is just the best. Someone on Reddit said, I remember eating these at the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle concert. One of very few truly vivid memories I have as a kid. I can't close my eyes and see many things, but I can see myself and my mom sitting at the convention center with the four costumed turtles dancing and reenacting scenes from the movies and stuffing my face with these turtle pies. Take yourself back, guys.
I have a bigger question. The turtle pies. The turtle pies now are normal. In comparison to the fact that somebody was going to a fucking Ninja Turtles concert.
I know.
What is that?
That's my thing next week. I'm going to get to the bottom of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle concert.
Lisa's
going to
go down
either.
This Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle themed rabbit hole every week. I'm like, Lisa, can you do anything but Ninja Turtles, please?
No, I'm going in the sewer.
Oh, God.
I'm in the sewers in March.
We're
going to
think we're
sewer.
Done, and then at the end of your research, you'll say something else fucking wild, and I'll be like, Lisa, I don't even want to know about this. Just stop. And you're like, nope, I'm looking into it.
We're going for it. Yeah, so that's my thing next week. It's now officially my thing. It's a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle concert. I've got to figure that out. I cannot imagine. But, you know, but, like, as a parent now, they do concerts for, like live concerts for all kinds of stupid shit for kids. Mm-hmm. It's like, I don't know, Teletubbies, and Teletubbies aren't a thing anymore, but that's the only thing that's coming to mind at the moment. And so they'll be like, Paw Patrol. Paw Patrol is when they do like live Paw Patrol. Mm-hmm. It's like, I don't like my children enough to take them to that. So I'm not going to do it. And I don't
like my kids enough. Sorry.
Well, I should also say, I don't hate my kids enough to take them to that. They don't need that kind of shit in their life. So, yes. And I also don't want to pay $50 for a kid to be like, oh, Paw Patrol. And I'm sure someone in the 90s, I bet that shit was so rad in the 90s. Ugh.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also glad I never experienced it, but we're going to experience it next week because that's what I'm doing with my life. So that's my thing. Turtle pies.
Awesome. Yeah, I've been looking at pictures of turtle pies just scrolling, just so many.
It's disgusting. Ninjas in a half shell. I have regret. It's terrible.
I have regrets.
I have regrets. Let's go do a lap. Let's take a lap after. I mean, just talking about the turtle pies.
Yeah, good hustle, everybody. Yeah. Good hustle.
Yeah, we did it. I'm gonna need a lap. So we're gonna take a break, come back, and tackle probably one of the biggest court cases we will do on this show.
Disagree.
No pressure. No, disagree.
Yep.
I am interested.
Indifferent towards this.
I am also indifferent towards this, but I think that it's got other a draw people. To it, but.
It's got that sex appeal.
Literally. It's got something. So, okay, well, we're going to break. We'll come back. We'll do court cases, enjoy a quick commercial break, and see you on the flippy flip.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Night is cold, it's back again.
This is finally so appropriate.
Dee-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-dee-on.
Gross.
Okay, so that was our song. I actually did that one time. And on that time, Lisa said, Backstreet Boys are the worst of the boys, which
that's right.
I'm going to have to take exception with that, because obviously I'm defending the one that I think is really good and not just one of the two, because I had to pick one to do. Mm-hmm. So, hey, everybody, welcome back from the break. I did nothing. I just sat here just waiting because I was just so excited to get back to you guys to talk about this super dope court case that I'm really enthusiastic about. Mm-hmm. Anyways, now that I'm,
you're so stoked.
Now that I've shown my love and excitement for boy bands, let's get to the polls, shall we?
Mm-hmm.
So last week we had a pretty heavy hitting court case, and also I think was a pretty solid ep in my IMHO, in my humble opinion. Rugrats versus Doug. Ba-ba-bum-ba-bum. Two of the original Nicktoons taking off. And who was the victor in that one? Looks like Twitter and Facebook agreed, as always. Here's the crazy thing. I don't think they've ever disagreed, or at least, like, I think they've almost disagreed one time. So Twitter said, we like those Rugrats. We like them. They're really neat. 60% to 40% Rugrats. And Facebook agreed and said, you know what? Rugrats. And they took Rugrats 56% to 44%. And I noted to Lisa when she said she was surprised that Doug lost, I said, yeah, it feels like Rugrats is kind of one of those things that, like, if you were born, like, in 89 even, like, 1990, 1991, like, when Rugrats came out, like, and it was, like, it was much more of a kid's show than Doug. Like, they were both kid's shows, but it was almost like people that were a little bit older maybe appreciated Doug a little bit more.
Yeah.
And Lisa, by her very nature, apparently more mature than me as a child, which I've found. She might disagree with that, but at least...
False.
Numbers wise, she appreciated more age appropriate content. We'll say that.
Did I? Because I was on the Ren and Stimpy train pretty hard. Like,
yeah, but that's the thing, cool is like title. As a kid, like, that's pretty inappropriate. Like, that was almost too much for me as a youngster. So Rugrats,
I did like Aeon Flux and stuff like that.
So that explains a lot.
Yeah.
Oops. So anyway, Rugrats came out victorious. Wasn't a huge margin. They beat out Doug. So looks like Patty just gave Doug blue balls again.
Oof.
Looks like Team Rocket is blasting off again.
So
anyways.
We were in a bad way last week. We'll try to be better this week.
Naughty last week, and I've noticed we haven't really said anything naughty this week. We just
I don't think we're even going to now, because I don't think this court case really...
For the part where I talk about how I just want to bone the Backstreet Boys constantly.
Well, you know, to each their own, right?
Yeah, so...
You do you, fam, so...
Yeah.
All right. Are we doing this? Are we jumping into court now?
We're doing it. Yes.
So I'm going to go ahead and open my case. I've been watching a lot of documentaries this week, a lot about trials as well, and so I'm feeling very, like... ready for court.
I thought you were going to say you've been watching a lot of NSYNC documentaries.
Definitely not. All of them. I will preface this by saying the court case is NSYNC versus Backstreet Boys. You can read, hopefully. If you cannot, that's what our court case is. And I am defending NSYNC not because I don't know if I liked them over Backstreet Boys, but my best friend growing up, Kim, was like obsessed with NSYNC. And several of my friends, even to date, still love NSYNC with all of their hearts and souls. And that's fine. If that's what you like, that's what you like. That's fine. But I, because I grew up with my friend Kim, who adored NSYNC, I would go to her house and we would watch the Disney Channel specials. We'd watch all the concerts. She probably had every documentary of like the behind the scenes of like their tours, their video filmings and things like that. So like I have a ton of exposure to NSYNC. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of Backstreet Boys as well, but NSYNC was more catered to me. Anyway, let's stop there and then go talk about NSYNC for a second. Okay. So like you got Backstreet Boys, which gave birth to like Nick Carter, which is like whatever, and Brian, I call him Brian the Jaw.
Brian the Jaw.
He has like
Is he the one with the big goatee?
Is that AJ? AJ's the gross one. Brian is the one with like the jawline, like an actor's jawline. It's bizarre.
Oh yes, I see. I'm looking at a picture from left to right. Yeah.
Yeah, and so that's it. That's what you got. But I have the band that was the diving board for the one, the only, Mr. Justin Timberlake. And I guess there were some other guys too. And if you are on your phone, Andy and I learned this week, if you're on your phone and you type out NSYNC, it's going to go ahead and autocorrect it to the little asterisk.
It's a little star.
And then capital NSYNC with no hyphens, but it's like, no, but you meant it this way because this
is
branding.
We know what you meant.
Like, this is what you wanted to actually say, you dumb hoe. So if you want to be exact, that's what the iPhone's going to make you say.
I can't believe it autocorrects proper nouns. That is so wild that they correct. They're like, I won't correct it to Andy, but I will correct NSYNC.
Like, yeah, exactly. Like, oh, this is what you meant to say. It's like, no, I was trying to say, like, literally anything else. It's
something
like,
is NSYNC.
You meant to say NSYNC. So, of course, the boy band craze was huge in the 90s, and they were part of this lineup, and they were formed in Orlando, Florida in 1995. So I actually did not realize this started this early. This is super interesting to me. And the lineup includes Justin Timberlake, which we all recall as the crunchy ramen-haired boy.
Ramen-haired boy.
Yeah, because if you look
at it. It does look like ramen. I agree.
It does look like ramen. Like I would, like. All I want to do, I don't want to hurt him, but I want to walk up to 90s Justin Timberlake and just punch him in the hair. And here goes like, I want to hear the crunch. J.C. Chazet, who was like the style ? Addition to the group, but also kind of like frontman part two. And then there was Chris Kirkpatrick, which was like the male Sporty Spice, but with dreads and like stuff happening at him. And then Joey Fatone, who I just wrote, I just called him the uncle because he just looks like an uncle to me. He doesn't look like a member of a boy band. And then Lance Bass.
Yeah, I know. I know that. Lance Bass.
Thank you. Which was like the Blondie introvert who ended up coming out years later. So, very interesting to be part of a boy band and then later have that you have to go through as well. So they apparently were formed when Chris, this was interesting. They were formed when Chris Kirkpatrick, sporty male spice, missed the cut for the Backstreet Boys auditions, but then met with Lou Pearlman, who managed the band in 95 to be like, maybe you should just make a second group since I fucked up and missed the deadline for Backstreet Boys? And he was like, sure, I love money. I'll do whatever. And so Lou Pearlman was down. But then he was like, but hey, you, Sporty Spice, have to go do all the legwork and find me some other dudes. So Chris basically like called his friend Joey, the uncle, and was like, hey, we need to make a boy band. And he was like, yeah, I know this dude named Justin Timberlake from the Mickey Mouse Club. And if you recall, you may not know this, but like the Mickey Mouse Club was also like the diving board for lots of super fans. And it continues to be so with like Ariana Grande and things like that. But at least I think she was on Mickey Mouse Club. At least Disney Channel. I shouldn't say Mickey Mouse Club. I don't know anything about the Disney Channel. Fact. So, but like, I think, was it Britney Spears, Christina Aguilera, Ryan Gosling? Was Britney Spears? I'm saying all the wrong things. Just don't listen to me about any of the things I just said about Disney Channel. Justin joined up and then recommended his friend J.C. Chazet. And then they had like their first bass singer was some dude named Jason Galasso. But then He was in there and doing all the practicing with them. And like Justin's mom gave them the idea for their name when she commented about how, quote unquote, in sync they were when they were singing. And boom, that shit was born from a mama. That's what moms do. They give you the name of your career. And also coincidentally, it was the last letter of each original member's names. So you've got, so yeah, the last letter of the first name of each member. Justin.
What the fuck?
JC, Chris, and there are other ones. So after a short time before they officially signed, Jason dropped out. Oops.
Whoops.
And then they got Lance Bass, who tried out and was like immediately accepted into the group. Mm-hmm. And so Pearlman put all, like, I loved this about the boy band craze. Pearlman put all the dudes into a house where they were practicing constantly and doing, you know, preparing for their first performance at Pleasure Island. Pleasure Island.
Ooh. That's Disney?
It's a Disney. I didn't know that. I had to look that up. I was like, where's Pleasure Island? It's like, oh, it's a Disney. I can't go there at 34. I could, but I don't want to. So they performed at Pleasure Island on October 22nd, 1995.
It feels like I don't know what's there, but I have a feeling it's not just a place where people go and bone, which is what it sounds
it's
like.
It's not. No, Pleasure Island is probably just ice cream. It's just like a lot of ice cream.
Yeah, it's just like I remember when I was there, I remember seeing it because it's like almost like on an island in the middle of this like little manufactured lake or whatever, like in the park.
Oh, is that what it is?
I believe so.
See,
yeah.
Again, right, going back to a few minutes ago, I don't know shit about Disney. I've been to Disney World twice, maybe three times. I still don't know shit about Disney. I never watched a Disney Channel growing up because we didn't have it, unless I was at my friend Kim's house and it was just NSYNC shit and I don't remember. So they got the manager for Backstreet Boys to manage them as well. And then once they got Lance's like shitty dance moves up to par, they officially got signed. Now, they started working on their first lead single, I Want You Back, that one. And it released on October 7th, 1996. And it was a huge hit in Germany. Germany.
Weird.
I know. That. So there's like this whole layer of like, I guess the beginning of this where they were like, we're NSYNC. We're European hot shit right now. Like Germans love the shit out of us. And so they were huge in Europe, and then they released Tearing Up My Heart and Here We Go, in parentheses, NSYNC song, which is just the worst. So it just anything that's an NSYNC song. So huge hit in Germany. And can I also circle back and say I watched the I Want You Back music video because I could not remember the song very well. Mm-hmm. And I went back and watched the video. Go back. Go watch it. It's one of the most, it's like one of the cringiest videos I've seen in a long, but just because of how dated it is. And like Justin Timberlake looks like a little, he did the itty bitty baby. Mm-hmm. And they're wearing like shirts that are plastered to their bodies, like almost like bodysuit style, like a onesie. Like they're so tight and so tucked into their pants. I love it. I love 90s boy bands. So anyway, in 98, they entered the U.S. market because they got signed to RCA and re-recorded some of their songs for America's Dumbass. And then we got I Want You Back for the United States. And then they released the album NSYNC on March 24th, 1998. And the sales were kind of sluggish.
Aww,
it was kind of sad. So they snagged a concert special on the Disney Channel, which was originally meant for Backstreet Boys, but Brian the Jaw Littrell had a bad heart for some reason, and he had to have like a surgery or something.
Oh,
and
no.
So the performance got yoinked from the Backstreet Boys and given to NSYNC, and then that basically took their debut album in the United States and said, you're going to the moon, ladies.
to die in the inky blackness of space.
Yes, just go for it.
Suffocate.
Well, they didn't. Guess what they didn't? They fucking tore up my heart of the United States. What did I write?
Space
I'm sorry.
Skills.
Shortly, I literally wrote, the concert shot them to the top of the charts, and then shortly after they released in the United States, Tearing Up My Heart, they got that finger blasted them into space. Why did I write that? What's wrong with me?
Listen, you were having a hard day.
It's been day five of single parenting, and like this is where my brain is dying. So in November 98, they released the Home for Christmas album, which I will never, ever forget. Not because I ever owned it, but because like at least one cousin of mine and definitely my friend Kim just played it over and over again.
I got that album.
You got it.
In,
on purpose hold or accident?
Hold on. In 2015.
Oh, my.
In a work.
You okay?
White Elephant exchange.
Was it new or used?
It was used. No, it was new because it was still sealed. And then okay. I gave it to somebody else. And it just, a friend of mine, and it just has been sitting as a decorative piece in their apartment for quite some time.
I hate it because I never owned it. I never owned this album, but it was always present. And so, like, every Christmas, like, Merry Christmas, Merry Happy Holidays. I hate it. It's in my brain.
Aww.
It's a horrible earworm that's there forever. And so, at one point, let's give some credit where credit's due. At some point in 98, they achieved the feat of having two albums on the Billboard Top 10 at the same time. So their debut album, NSYNC, plus the Home for Christmas. Damn, that's pretty big
it's,
boys
it's
right
pretty
there.
Wild to think about a Christmas album being on the top 10 charts.
I'm going to tell you something right now. 98 was a wild. Fucked up year, if that's where we were, to be like, yeah, no, for sure. At the same time, let's do this. Let's do this, right? But NSYNC was huge, and so... the first top 10 hit on the Hot 100 list that they got was in February of 99 with God Must Have Spent a Little More Time on You.
Yes.
Yeah, which is the worst song title of all time. And actually a pretty bad song, too.
That's also really bad in addition to that. It's not very good.
In addition to that. And then I Drive Myself Crazy was their last single off the self-titled album. And it was – and, like, I couldn't – I was like, You Drive Me Crazy by Britney Spears. Is that the song? And I had to go watch the video. And I was like, oh, my God, if I never see this again, it'll be the best thing that ever happened to me. Because I watched – because I would turn on MTV at the end of the school day and be like, I can't wait to just sit here and watch TRL, I guess. And guess what? If it was TRL time – for like 6 years straight, literally the only music video they played was the I Drive Myself Crazy, where they're like in these, were they in satin? Am I making that up? They were in like pajamas or something and in a padded cell and like all acting in their cute boy band. Like only Andy can see me, but like doing like the, oh, I'm crazy. Oh, I just love you so much. I'm crazy.
Yes.
Oh, God, so crazy. I love you. And, like, trying to be cute, but also trying to pretend like they were crazy, but they're just adorable, I don't know what, 18-year-olds at this point. Mm-hmm. So they ended up having this pretty gnarly battle with their manager, Lou Pearlman, because he was taking, like, a bajillion percent of the profits, and he was only supposed to take a little bit. And he was like, I want all of it. And I think they won, and he was like, oh, be so sad. And probably he's not dead, but I hope he's dead. He might be dead. I don't know. Can you Google that for me? Is Lou Pearlman dead?
No. Here it's what's what I'm like I'm finding so many. So I'm gonna I'll talk about it in my court case. I'm sorry. Just I don't know about Lou Pearlman's life right now.
It's okay. Well, I know about it, and he fucked up NSYNC, but then I think they got him back. So the next thing that happened was in January of 2000, they released a song called "Bye Bye Bye."
He's dead.
Bye bye bye. Lou Pearlman died?
Yeah, he died in 2016, so you're welcome.
Why am I so jubilant about someone dying? What's wrong with me?
You know what? I'm going to tell you right now, just because I'm probably not going to think to bring it up in there.
Sure.
He was accused of running one of the largest and longest running Ponzi schemes in history, leaving more than $300 million in debts. So, yeah, he also got arrested, I think.
Sounds like a really stand-up dude. '06.
So, yeah, he's a pretty solid dude. So, anyways, moving on.
He did. That's why you're dead, Lou. Asswipe. So they released an album called No Strings Attached in March of 2000, and that was a huge hit album for them. And then they released the single It's Gonna Be May. We all know that one. Yes.
What a great 90s song.
Oh, shit. Well, we're in the 2000s, so we're talking NSYNC. We're NSYNC. Thank you for pointing that out.
Yeah.
I'm going to wrap this up because it is the end. We are in the 2000s now, but they had the huge tour with No Strings Attached. I mean, their tours were huge for NSYNC. I mean, a friend of mine, my friend Kim, I think she probably went to the No Strings Attached tour, but like, I know a friend of mine now that lives in my town that I live in now, and I think she's seen Justin Timberlake in some capacity. I want to say 20 times 16. It's like an insane number. So she's probably seen all of these tours. And then, like, she probably even was in Germany in 95 when they were doing their thing in Germany. So then they released Celebrity in July of 2001. And Celebrity was the second fastest selling album on SoundScan in SoundScan history at the time of its release. I don't know anything about SoundScan. That's just a fact I wanted to give you. And then in 2002, the band went on hiatus and Justin ended up splintering off to do his own thing, because I think we could all agree by and large, like, the rest of the guys were fine, but like, this was definitely Justin's show, right?
Yeah. He
was
just I'm just going to say something that might be a hot take. I think it worked out well for Justin.
I don't know. I feel like he should have stayed with the band. I feel like they would have done really well. Obviously, it was a tremendous success for him because, yeah, he was the Beyonce of this, right? He was like, you need to be set free, little one. And so he officially left the band in summer 2004. So that's NSYNC. I mean, there's not enough time to talk about them. I don't know. I didn't love them. I definitely knew all their songs because of constant exposure to them in pop culture and the cars that I rode to school with and the band trips that I went with Kim on and then in college and then here even as a 34-year-old woman with my friends here in Texas. Like, they're just still there and it's a whole thing. It's a whole thing. I was never on the boy band train. I was on a different boy band train, which was like, I would like to listen to the Deftones and I would like to listen to like in love with all of those guys, like Orgy, the band, Incubus, like we've already talked about all this. Like, mm-hmm. Those were my boy bands. And so there was this whole other bucket of like screaming women, girls, screaming girls, yeah. At this age. It was just like, this is insane. And I could never ask for $250 to go like get a pit, quote unquote, pit ticket, or I don't even know what they have at a concert like that.
Yeah, what is stadiums, like, they're not so moshing or anything like that, or like rocking out to their jams.
I guess I should say something like general admission or like to get, yeah, really close. I don't know what those were, but like that shit was insane. We wouldn't have had the money for it. It was probably for the best.
I think it worked out.
NSYNC
made you a more well-rounded human being. Well, thank you,
I
Lisa.
Guess. No, I don't think so. But yeah, yeah. No, you're welcome. That's NSYNC. Yeah, I want to talk about Backstreet Boys.
Yeah, and I will say this is I do appreciate the fact that that him leaving the band was a good decision, and the fact that I learned later on that he's not the worst. When I learned JT,
Justin
like
Timberlake?
As far as Justin, yeah, Timberlake, his acting career and stuff like that, he's actually been pretty solid. So
he's funny. He's,
yeah,
funny.
No, that's the thing. It's like everything I hear about him, oh, I'm like, he's actually like a super funny and awesome guy. And I'm like, thank God you got an NSYNC, because if you were still doing that shit, that'd be so sad.
And it makes me so annoyed because, like, I'm sorry to interrupt, but like, okay, I don't want to like Justin Timberlake. I do, like, but he's so fucking talented that you can't. Oh, he's just so talented that you have to give credit where credit, yeah, is like genuinely due.
There's people even like, I think it's, yeah, like him and Leonardo DiCaprio are two people that as a kid I thought were the lamest fucking people alive or whatever, yeah, and later on, like, because like that's why it is amazing, is the fact that they had to break my own personal, like, my strong built-in opinion of them by being that great, you know. So
yeah,
so yeah, so I'm here to talk to y'all about Backstreet Boys, aka BSB. I love that it says BSB. Often abbreviated as BSB, and I'm like, I have never seen that in my life, anyone
abbreviated before I forget, as BSB. Whatever, I don't know what album it was, but they had an enhanced CD that I had, and I would put it into my computer and go through all the weird bullshit on the enhanced CD for so many hours, because
Backstreet
at that
Boys?
Point, they had an enhanced CD. I guess it was the original.
What that means?
An enhanced CD? Do you not know what that is?
No idea. No.
An enhanced CD is when you would buy like an album from a musician, and in the early 2000s, late 90s more, it would be like a CD. You put it in the CD-ROM of your computer tower, and it would load up like a program. It would boot up a program, and the program would have like extras. So like they might have a video or lyrics or pictures, sure, or things like that. But I distinctly remember that one from the Backstreet Boys. It was,
which if you think about it, is pretty wild in retrospect that they're like, we're really banking on you planning on using this in your computer, right?
Like, yep.
And that's the thing, that is how we used it, because we'd rip it onto the computer and stuff like that. But like, it's funny now thinking about that, like, wait, you want me to get the CD so that I can use it on my computer? Like, not just put it in a CD player or anything like that, or in my car?
Well, but we weren't young enough for cars yet. And if we were riding with someone, you better bet your tits that they weren't going to be like, oh, yes, child, let me put your Backstreet Boys album in.
Sure.
And like, if you had your Walkman, they might be like, take your headphones off and talk to me, you know? So you had to have that sweet, sweet time at night were on the weekend when you were playing the pinball 3D game and you enhanced 3D or enhanced CD. Oh, ho, ho. All right, I'm done. I'll shut up.
Okay. So here's a few commonalities while I was listening to your thing that was pretty wild. So the Backstreet Boys started in Orlando.
Okay.
Which is exactly where the NSYNC did. Mm-hmm. They started out international before coming to the U.S.
So this was a plan. This was like part of a...
In addition to that, their manager was Lou Pearlman.
Basically the same band.
And I'm guessing there's probably other bands we didn't know about that basically like Lou Pearlman's like, you gotta start in Orlando and you gotta take it international. This is my Lou Pearlman voice.
There was 98 Degrees. That was another boy band. I can't remember all the other ones, but 98 Degrees was the same
We'll have to see if they were, they were the same thing. Anyway, so Backstreet Boys are a band that formed in 1983 in Orlando, Florida. The group consists of A.J. McLean, Howie DeRoe, Nick Carter, Kevin Richardson, and Brian Littrell. And of those names, of course, similar to the other one, Nick Carter is the name that you remember the most out of those five, but obviously nothing like JT in NSYNC.
Not the same.
But I will say, pretty much everybody knows that Backstreet Boys have been a much longer standing with a lot more staying power band over the years than NSYNC was, which could have to do with their main guy leaving, which could be part of it. One thing that's wild is just before I, you know, drop off that, I did want to mention that, like, I think it was in, let me see, in 2019, their album DNA debuted at number one. So they came out, they're still doing albums, and, like, last year,
2018?
2019. So last year, they had an album that came out that debuted at number one in the Billboard Top 200 charts. So apparently
they're doing decent.
So that's pretty crazy. So they started out, similarly, like they were pretty small. They started out their very first show. So Lou Pearlman, 1992, apparently this is how they got them together. Lou Pearlman placed an ad in the Orlando Sentinel to compose a vocal group. And a bunch of people, they came to his living room, which is so creepy, for a bunch of children, basically, because most of these people, like one of them I know was like 13 whenever they were in this band to start out. Basically, they came into there and rehearsed, you know, I mean, did auditions in Pearlman's living room.
In his bedroom, okay.
So McLean was the first to join. Between 1992 and 1993, he helped open casting auditions for all of these things, and they all ended up joining in to him. And then in their very first performance of all time was at SeaWorld in Orlando on May 8th, 1993.
So awesome. Yeah. I was 7 years old.
Yeah, so then they continued in their adorableness to perform at various shopping malls, restaurants, and eventually like some charity galas, things like that. And so, like, you know, they were having, you know, they were kind of picking up some steam in the local area. Apparently Lou Pearlman, I'm guessing that's probably how he ended up getting NSYNC too, was just like they responded to his same ad or something like that. And he just like,
well, no,
which
remember,
makes you think
said,
if Lou Pearlman was
I
actually
was,
a creep.
Well, so yeah, Chris must have responded to the Backstreet Boys one. And then if you remember, he said he missed the cutoff. And so he was like, well, I still want to be a popular piece of shit. And so, yeah. And then Lou Pearlman was like, yeah, I'll give you
another
boy band. Yeah.
Yeah, it makes you think.
But you have to do all the work. So
yeah, I mean, apparently he really, really liked money. But yeah, so would that make sense then more why there were so many commonalities? The Orlando thing was the thing that creeped me out, but that makes so much more sense, the Orlando and Lou Pearlman thing. So they released their first album, Backstreet Boys. Again, self-titled. They just, like, that's apparently his thing, is he's like, you just got to name it what you're named. In the spring of 1996. And it was released internationally on May 6, 1996.
Wait. They started in 93 and they didn't release an album until 96?
Correct.
That's a long time to just be like dancing in your
they
underwear.
Were just, they Romans. Made some singles and stuff like that, and they did some songs and everything like that, but their first big album, their first album came out in 1996.
Okay.
So it was released internationally on May 6, 1996, excluding U.S. and Canada. Again, great. I don't know why that is. Like, I don't know, like, Lou's just like, Americans fucking hate sexy boys. We need to focus on the Germans. They love that weird, weird, high-voiced bullshit.
But were we not at that point coming out of, like, the grunge era and, like, the early 90s rock? Like, maybe America wasn't ready?
Sure.
Question mark?
I mean, it's such a huge, significant change from that. And I mean, because there's a lot of women, female singers at this time that are becoming really big and everything like that. But yeah, the boy band wasn't really a thing yet. So apparently they became very big. Similarly, they also killed it in Germany. And in 1996, in October, is finally whenever they were released, were allowed to show up in Canada. Still not the US though, which is super weird. They kept growing and growing in the European states, and were voted the number one international group in 1996, and earned their first platinum record in Germany for selling 500,000 copies of their debut album. Apparently, platinum is different in Germany. I don't, because that's not how much it is in America.
Yeah.
So the big thing came when the group began working on their second album, Backstreet's Back. And so, to most people in the U.S., I don't remember the exact details, but I believe this is the first album that actually came out in the U.S. was Backstreet's Back, which is super weird if you're in America, and they're like, back from what? Like, you, who the fuck are you? They're like, we're back from Europe, apparently. Like, I guess
that
must be
store?
What... They just, yeah. like, we weren't waiting for you. And so they came back. So they internationally was released again in August of 1997, and eventually... was released in America shortly. It was released the next day in the U.S., which is wild.
Oh.
They were like, you guys get a special sneak preview for being loyal on August 11th. And then the next day they released it in America. It came out and it was number 4 at the top of the, on the U.S. album chart, and eventually sold 14 million copies. And it also had peaked in number, Backstreet's Back, had also peaked at number 1 in Germany, Norway, Switzerland, Finland, the Netherlands, Belgium, and Austria. So they were killing it, needless to say.
Hell yeah.
So I don't want to go too much into the rest of their history. They made albums and they were good. I mean, and I say good, I mean, according to people who are into that music. Here's the thing. I appreciate the talent. I see that they had some skills, that they were attractive men that happened to sing okay. Like, that's one thing I recognize about them.
That's fair.
Is it helped make young girls at that time swoon hard and cheer very loudly.
I was a boy,
especially a very self-conscious boy, who absolutely 100% would never in a million years have made it out alive in grade school or high school if I had any interest in these bands. Like, to be very clear, I didn't, but also if I had have liked them, I would have died. I would have been murdered. So to everyone out there who's like, man, you guys are really shitting on these people, at least for me, I have an excuse, because I would not be alive today on this podcast had I have appreciated Backstreet Boys when I was a child.
That's fair.
So
that's probably fair. It was a different time.
Yes.
For sure.
Backstreet's Back, the album, came out.
Uh-huh.
Which is... Here's the thing. I know there's probably there's other songs that people will be like, oh my God, you're leaving these out. I'll mention a few of the songs. So the two that were the ones that are the biggest. So Everybody, in parentheses, Backstreet's Back, which is the song I just did.
Was
the
that the one
part.
Where they were, don't, sorry, my cat is like fucking everything
Which is
up.
The
was
one.
Was that the one where they were like the Halloween one or like.
We're going to get to that.
We're going to get to that.
Okay. Trust me. I'm going to talk about the fucking music videos for these things in ad nauseum, because they were just ridiculous. As Long As You Love Me was the other big song that came out on that one. I don't care who you are, where you're from, what you did, as long as you love me. And then there's a song called All I Have to Give. I don't know if that's a song that I know. They had a lot of songs on this album. I don't remember which, like, what, if they were like notable. Missing You apparently was also one on this album. This is the thing, is people are like, man, aren't you supposed to be experts on this? No, I have made it very clear, I am not expert on Backstreet Boys. So those were the songs that came out on Backstreet's Back. So that album came out in 1997, and then Millennium was the next big album that dropped. And that was in 1989, so we're still in the 90s. And of course, the big one, and here's the thing, is like, they obviously had a shitload of money by this time, because suddenly their fucking music video for Larger Than Life, like, I'm not going to say it was good, but they had to spend a shitload of money making this fucking music video.
That was a crazy one. Like, that was a spaceship one?
Yeah.
And they're, like, floating and shit.
That makes you larger than life. Okay. Yeah. And then I Want It That Way. Duh. That's obviously one that everybody knows. So those were the two big ones on that. There's some other things on this that I'm sure were probably popular, and people would be like, why didn't you talk about this? Because I don't remember those songs. These are the ones I watched music videos for there, so they're the ones that I remember. So I did want to touch on the music videos. So one thing I did remember is there's a movie called This Is the End, which was like a comedy thing. I think it might, I don't know if it was Judd Apatow, but like, Seth Rogen and like a bunch of other guys that are comedians and stuff were in this movie. And at the end of the movie, there is the sequence where everybody's dead and they went to heaven or whatever. And so like the main characters are like in heaven, and evidently heaven in this thing is literally just everybody singing along with the Backstreet Boys to the song Everybody, or Backstreet's Back.
No, that is not heaven.
That one was actually pretty good, because it was just like, I don't know, it's like a lot of people like breakdancing and stuff like that. So that one was fine. The actual music videos, my notes say, the music videos for Backstreet Boys are fucking ridiculous. That was the only, was like my main bullet point on this. So Everybody, as I mentioned, was basically an overly weird, like a weird, overly sexual Lovecraftian monsters. Like everybody was some sort of like vampire. I think one of them was like Phantom of the Opera. Like there was just it was like kind of like a, sepia, like, old timey, like thing. But it was like, there's a bunch of women, of course, because they have to be like, oh, I want to have sex with you guys from Backstreet Boys. I don't know what the appeal was, but basically that was a very weird, overly sexual Lovecraftian monsters, which the main reason I mentioned that one in particular is because it was the least related to the song of, like, none of them had anything to do with the song. Larger Than Life, I get it. Okay. Like, I get what you're going for here. You're like, man, like, things are big. It's the millennium. Like, let's do some futuristic shit. Cool. Mm. Everybody, Backstreet's Back, being that, like, in, like, old school, like, monster film, made no sense. And Larger Than Life, like I said, they're on a space station doing futuristic shit. It was probably super cutting-edge technology at the time, but now looking back, it's like a really bad version of Star Wars Episode One. Pod racing scene kind of thing. Like everybody's like, some of them are like in mech suits and shit like that. I don't know. It was buck wild. So they're on this big space station. Let's see. So honestly, the song As Long As You Love Me, which was from Backstreet's Back, I don't think anybody was watching that and was like, I know what's happening here. Like, I was watching it trying to figure out what was going on, like, exactly. It looked like, so they were auditioning in front of, like, these attractive women, right? And they were auditioning for nothing. Like, there's no way to look at it and say, oh, they're auditioning for this. There was just a bunch of random shit in the background. There's, like, a shitty car, like, some ladders. Like, it was supposed to be, like, a set, like, where they're auditioning for something. But it wasn't apparent what they were auditioning for. And then the main woman, who was pretty attractive, would just, like, keep changing the channel on them. And, like, she would hit the channel button, and they would turn into somebody else or something else, maybe doing something else. And so, like, the entire time I'm watching this movie, I'm like, I don't know what is happening in this music video. But evidently, they thought, like, it's like an audition, but they changed the channels on you. Like, I don't know. So, anyways, that was one of the other music videos. So, and in the music video for I Want It That Way, they just gave up. They're like, fuck it, let's have it in an airport. Plane in the background, sure.
Oh, right.
But not the whole time, just part of the time. So it's like they're like in this airport hangar, and then occasionally they're outside, like in front of an airplane. Other times they're walking down, like through like fucking security or something. Like, it's just Like, none of it makes any sense. But here's the thing. I can't say anything too derogatory towards the Backstreet Boys in this regard because no music videos made any sense. They never did.
Well, especially for pop artists, because I think a lot of them was like, the main thing for a music video was like, just be catchy, just have, you know, just be enough to get people's attention and keep it and it sticks with you. And that's exactly what happened for these things.
Yeah.
So like, even if it made no fucking sense and had no correlation to the song itself, it didn't matter. Backstreet's back, because we all remember them all doing the like weird ass monster dance in this hall. We all remember it.
The futuristic one, Larger Than Life, I was like, I get that one. Like I said, that one was,
that makes sense.
Like, made a little more sense. And it was, like I said, it was impressive given the time, like how much money they probably had to spend on that. I was looking up a few different, like, interesting facts. I was looking for, like, trivia, but then they were, like, actually asking me trivia questions. I'm like, I don't know the answer to these questions. So I was just looking up, like, some details here. So one interesting fact was the band members regularly hung out at manager Lou Pearlman's home, playing video games, basketball, etc. Sounds pretty innocent, right? Well, the Backstreet Boys would regularly watch porn together. In fact...
No.
Yeah.
No.
So anyways, again, this is not a reliable source, like, but it's on here and all the other stuff seems totally legit. So I'm like, that one apparently must be legit. So they would just go there and just like watch porn together. I don't know. It just feels weird.
But like with Lou or just
I don't know the answer to that question.
There's no good answer.
I didn't say that until I realized we've been talking about how Pearl's a creep. And then I just thought of that. And I'm like, oh, that's really uncomfortable.
No, he's a horrible monster person where he was like,
you want to see some titties? Come on. Come on, kid. We'll get it together.
Come join my boy band. You're 14 years old. We're going to start in Germany, which is really confusing to you. And then we probably couldn't even point out Germany on a map. But come hang out in my bedroom and audition. For my heart.
Oh, God.
And my heart. I hate this. I hate Lou Pearlman.
Okay, so then another thing. Kevin from the band, before joining the Backstreet Boys, usually used his vocals by dressing up as Aladdin at Disney World.
Oh, I can
see
that.
So that was part of his life.
Kevin, I loved Kevin. He was mine. I was like, you are... If you are not a Backstreet Boy, you are an accountant, and I love you. And I secretly, like, I want to work in HR with you so bad, Kevin. I love you, Kevin. I'm not.
Wow.
He was like wildly. I didn't like any. I was never a Nick Carter fan. It's like, I don't want to date a little broomstick ass boy. Yeah. Give me the man in the back.
I mean, it's also partly Kevin, when they started, was 22 years old. He was the oldest.
Wow.
And when they started, Nick Carter was 13 years old.
Do you think Kevin's eligible for Medicare yet? Probably
depends.
If he was 22 in 93, he's like 84 now.
Yep, that's it.
That's how math works. I mathed it so good.
So yeah, I mean, he's in his 50s, right? Is that he's got to be.
I'm not gonna math this out.
I can't do it anymore.
I'm not mathing.
So anyways, so Marvel creator Stan Lee made the Backstreet Boys into a comic book. He created a comic book called The Backstreet Project, and only one issue was ever printed.
I hate it.
So that's the thing. So anyways, like I said, I don't want to go too far into these, and I apologize to anyone who was like, man, I really came in here for some hard-hitting facts about the Backstreet Boys.
Well,
and
if you came here for that, you already knew them. If you can Google this shit. We're here for straight opinions for this episode. Opinions. Yeah. Backstreet Boys were...
I will say this is...
They were number... Are they not... I think they were officially, like, the number one boy band, like, in the list.
Oh,
I think
for
NSYNC
sure.
was, like, number five, because they've been doing it for 66 years now.
66? So, yep, Kevin. Kevin's years. Like... Kevin, yeah, Kevin, like you said, he's, like, 57, and he's dying.
Kevin's in a nursing home. God bless you, Kevin. I hope you're all right, dude.
Yeah. But anyways, the last thing I did want to say...
Sorry.
...on this was... The one thing I do appreciate about the Backstreet Boys that I have found new appreciation for is mainly whenever friends of mine, when we go to like some sort of karaoke thing, I don't go to a lot of karaoke's, but when I do, is whenever like the burliest, biggest man in the room gets up and does a Backstreet Boys song in it. And it's so good.
How else are you
gonna get them ladies? Yeah.
You gotta get them ladies somehow. You're not gonna get it with Aerosmith. No one wants to hear you karaoke Aerosmith. Sit down. If you don't want it that way, I don't want you on the stage.
Straight I could up. Stay awake.
Don't stop
just to
it
hear
right now.
You breathing.
Andy, I'm going to Armageddon your face if you okay. don't stop it.
All right, that's it. That's the end of the Backstreet Boys. It's over. It's done.
They were... did you have a favorite? Like, just by visual alone.
Of the band?
Of your band, yeah.
Well, I just clicked something and dropped out of it. Let's see. Looking at this picture. Nope, they're all terrible. I'm literally, like, I literally can't... Like, I can't pick because they all look just real bad. This is like that's a more current photo of them, but yeah. Sorry.
Brian, I looked up Brian for 2020 to be like, what does this dude look like? What's Brian the Jaw look like now? He's looking pretty great, actually.
Yeah, compared to the rest, he looks the least bad, but in the one picture I'm looking at, he has this smile that just looks like he's just so punchable.
See, and I think it's a very, like, it's a face that you don't want to like, but you're like, that smile says, like, you're actually pretty genuine, I guess. I hate this. I'm all still right. all about Kevin, though.
Fair enough.
And I don't like NSYNC.
All right.
Well, there's our court case.
So anyways, that was the court case about those things. So
we did it.
You guys will be able to vote on stuff. So if you're listening to this and have not followed us on Twitter or Facebook and do want to vote in on this, hop in there, gang. Follow us. Speaking of which, you want to take us out?
Hell yeah. You know where to find us. As he just said, we're on 90s Court on Facebook or at 90s Court. On Facebook and Twitter, 90s.court on Instagram,
boom.
Patreon, of course. We have a new Y2 Court episode coming out soon. 90s Court, excuse me, Patreon, not 90scourt.com. We do not have a website. Do not go Googling that.
Don't.
Patreon.com/90scourt, where you can check out all the different ways that you can support the show. And again, if you wanted to go higher level than just a bailiff, you can like get in on the show, mm-hmm. give us the court cases mm-hmm. directly that you want to do, and even get on here and like run this shit with us. So
yeah, you come in here and be everywhere. Like, you're all wrong. You're wrong on yeah. all of these things. Let me tell you how it. You're wrong on the air.
I would love to fight with an additional person on this show, make it more of a shit show. So anyway, that is our show, and we will be back next week with episode 28, and hell I will yeah. be back with Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle concert information for you.
Peace be the journey. Cool runnings.
Adios, dooters.
Stay radical.
Bye.